Welcome, everybody, to the Voice of the Believers Church. Good morning, Sunday morning edition. I did not get that on the recording, thank God. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings. If you need an envelope or anything, these two young men back there, or you can raise your hand, they'll deliver something to you. Monica, or the girls, can you handle the buckets out? There you go, somebody there. Thank you. Let me get over here, see where our text is. All right. This is out of the Message Bible. This is actually Mark chapter 4, where Jesus was teaching about the four people that planted. The first one planted, it was real shallow ground, and the birds ate it up. Anyway, he was correlating it to a person that just God saved and walked away. You know, just really didn't take a root. It didn't take no root. The seed didn't take no root. He's talking about seeds. And because everything in your life is a seed. Your thoughts, everything you do is a seed. And it correlates with tithing and offerings because it's a seed too. God. And then the second was they got saved, but persecution, made fun of him because of he wasn't like them. Now he's believing God for healing or blessings, or he's he might be have his prayer language or pray in tongues or whatever, and people make fun of him, and he might leave because he got persecuted or made fun of by other people or Christians and stuff. So he just takes off, that person. The third one is the riches and the wealth. He's doing good. He's following God's word, doing great, but the riches and wealth of the world, the guy was blessed him. He was doing good, but he got his eyes on the money instead of on the word and staying close to the word and the spirit of God, and he fell. But the fourth one in the Message Bible, it said it like this. Some fell on good earth and came up with a flourishing and producing a harvest exceeding his wildest dreams. Exceeding his wildest dreams. Jesus wants to do greater than our greatest dreams, what it said in Ephesians. Exceeding our wildest dreams, what God wants to do with our life. And each one of us have, he's got dreams for you to do things for him, to work, be doing things for him. And it's just amazing. So as we tithe and offer, we're letting the Lord minister to us, and that tithe and offering is increasing, what it says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's increasing. God's giving you increase, and increasing your righteousness, and giving you more to be a blessing, giving you more to be a blessing. Your cup runs over, praise God. Your cup runs over, hallelujah. It just keeps flowing out, praise the Lord. And I've seen it so many times in my life. Who was it? My pastor, Pastor Terry Sparks. Yes, I have a pastor. I'm under authority. Yeah, every pastor should be under authority because Jesus was under authority of his Father in heaven. And my pastor's Terry Sparks in Sulphur Springs has a son. He calls him his daddy. He's from Africa, Ghana, Africa, Thomas Cujo. And he just happened to get his number out of the back of Charisma magazine when it was over in Africa and called Pastor Terry over here in Sulphur Springs. And next thing, they made a connection. He was sending books, sending faith books to Kenneth Hagin, all kinds of things. And his mom had started a church in Ghana, Africa, with nothing but concrete walls and floor. And that's all there was to it. And it was really poor in that area. But the guess what? The gospel, the good news, the faith was taken off in the people. He took it over from her. She turned it over to him. And he got a hold of this and started giving to the Lord, believing. You know, he prayed to the Father and believed, like it says over in Mark 11, 23 and 24. And he received it and just kept on giving thanks. And now, my goodness, at first his congregation, just very few even had a vehicle. Now, like 95% of them have vehicles, praise God, in Ghana, Africa. It works in Ghana, Africa. I know by far it works here, praise God. Hallelujah. And now they got it all roofed. They got all the carpet. They got Italian tile in his office that he believed for, he prayed and believed for, men and women's indoor bathrooms, everything in Ghana, Africa. I mean, it's really a blessing, praise God. You got a wonderful testimony, hallelujah. So let's pray and believe and trust God to do more with us, praise God. If you have a need, you got a seed, so connect with what you're believing for with that, praise God, whatever you're believing for. So every time I get ready to and nowadays I write it out. My brother there knows about the prayer petition. And I write it out and we date it, Monica and I will. And we'll pray it together to the Father in Jesus' name. We bind the enemy. We loose God's angels to go out there and get that stuff that we believe for. And I tell you what, it works in the hardest situation. Whatever it is, you're in a desperate situation, God makes it possible. You know, Monica and I were needing something done, her air conditioner fixed. Guess what? We had $2,000 come in just like that. Praise God. Tithe $200, got $1,800, get her air conditioner fixed. I got some work done on Danielle's truck. Praise God, it needed to be done. God is good. Hallelujah. Got her some tires. And Monica's vehicle sitting up at Wofford's, going to start fixing the air conditioner on Monday, so she'll have a nice cold AC. Amen. So it all works, you know. You got a need? I give. That's what I do, and I always see God give back to me. Praise God. All right, Father God, your word says that we bring these tithes in the storehouse of the Lord. You open the windows of heaven, pour out blessings on us, not room enough to receive it. You rebuke the devourer. You stop Satan from messing with our stuff. The enemy shall not destroy the fruits of our ground. And Lord, we just give you praise and glory for it. And those that are giving offerings, we can believe for a 30, 60, 100 fold for the return. Because you said you increase. And it said that we had the Bible says you can give a thousand fold increase return on our giving. That's even better than any interest in the world. And Lord, you said if we can believe, all things possible to those who believe. I know people that believe for a million and a billion fold, the billion flow to come back to them. Why? Because they want to be more of a blessing to do your work, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, young men, you can take that up. We had a joyous, praise God, wonderful time on Wednesday. I met my computer man. He's working on my laptop right now so I can put sermons up on the voiceofthebelieverschurch.org website. And he has the computer. He's working on that. And he come Wednesday, and he goes in October to Uganda, Africa. Not Ghana, but Uganda. He's had support there. He's bought 12 acres of land there. They're building a small building there for them to meet. They're planting their own crops so they can eat and have food there, and they have water. It's really, he's touching these families in Uganda, and it's up in the mountains, up in the middle of nowhere, you know. There was one lady, when she first seen him come down the street, she ran and climbed up a tree. She never seen a white man in her life. You know, it's that kind of, there's hippos and lions and everything running everywhere. I mean, all over the place. So it's really primitive where he's at. So if you still, I can go by the 15th of this month. If you want to give an offering, it's to Paul Kaufman. It'll go, and he'll buy sugar and salt and food and everything when he gets over there. It costs too much to ship it over there. You base most of your money on postage. So he buys it when he's over there, and then he can disperse it out. So if you feel led to do that, you have to the 15th. This Wednesday I finish up on Abrahamic covenant. God's keeping you grounded in God's blessing, his word, his covenant, because in the time we're in, we are going to have to be in it, praise God. And then from there, he's going to lead me into, I think, fear is not your friend, staying out of fear. And it's going to be a now word. You're going to have to stay out of fear. You're going to have to use your faith. Don't get into worry. No matter what's going on around you, don't get into worry. This coming, Monica's preaching today. Thank God. Woo! This coming Sunday up, I have the Gideons are coming in from Atlanta, Texas. He's going to share a bunch of cool stories about getting the Word of God out. So we'll do that. So say two. Two. There'll be two tithes or offerings. One will be a tithe, one will be an offering. It'll be a love offering. We'll do the regular one now. And then when he gets up here to speak, we'll take up an offering for him in that ministry. It goes 100% to hand out Bibles. It buys Bibles. The Gideons don't keep none of that money. They're usually businessmen that pay for their own way. And 100% of that money goes to put those Bibles in the wherever they go. They go into hotels. I'll let him talk about that. And then next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, but the Wednesday after it, we'll do evangelism, street evangelism. Go out and go door knocking. All right, Pastor Monica, come on up. Praise God. I will.
Amen. Y'all ready to hear a word from God? Praise God. I thank God for healing. I'll tell you what. I was up to like 3 in the morning catching my healing. But I'm just glad to receive my healing. Amen. What did you need, hon?
Can we pray for Miss Davis, the county clerk in Kentucky, because this is starting something in America that we need to dip it in and stop it, because as Christians, and she's Christian lady, she stood up for Jesus, and if
put her in jail, so we better get started.
Well, come on and lead it.
Okay. All right.
Amen. That's right.
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for word. We just all come together, Lord. We just speak peace over our sister, Miss Davis. I heard she's a pretty new Christian, so she's on fire for you, Lord. We just plead the blood of Jesus over her. We say she comes out of that jail. Lord, you let the Christians and people stand up and all the righteous people stand up. And whatever our part is, and every Christian around the world's part is, if they're supposed to go there, if they're supposed to pray, if they're supposed to call, or whatever our part is, Lord, that we can stand up for our sisters in Christ and brothers in Christ, we'll do our part, Lord. But we're praying to you right now, Lord. We just say she's out of that jail. She comes out now in Jesus' name. Satan, we bind you up. You can't stop it. We thank you, Lord, for her release. We ask for the imprisonment of those people that put her in there, those whatever judge, whoever it was, that went against Jesus and won those gay marriages stuff. We say they get put in prison. Now, she has her right to freedom of speech just like anybody else. So if she says no, then she ought to have her rights not be thrown in jail. We didn't throw anybody in jail. We didn't throw nobody in jail that were not doing your word or whatever. We, you know. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for her rescue. And, Lord, we just give you praise for it, Lord. And we're all in agreement. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Because God said he's looking to show himself powerful, looking to show himself mighty. And so, Lord, here we are. We just ask him to see that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to go ahead and pray. Well, Father God, I just thank you, Lord. You said to study to show yourself approved, so I did, but just anoint me now to share this message, your message. Lord, I pray you give us supernatural understanding, because you said when we understand, we would be healed. So give us revelation knowledge of your word. Help us to apply it to our everyday life so that we can go out of here changed. We can go out of here full of power, full of encouragement, because you said you would confirm your word with signs, wonders, and miracles. And Lord, I want miracles. We want power. We want to see your signs, Lord. We want to see your word take over and saturate this nation and our lives, Father God. And Satan, I bind you from operating against this message and against anyone in here in Jesus' name. And all who agree, say amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. All right.
All right.
Youth and children, come on. Let's go.
Amen. We're going to... Amen. We're talking about... I'm on number 6 on a healthy Christian family. And it's called One Family Under God. Because we need families built on the rock. We need families built on the authority of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you about a story. It's a story about two people. One of them heard the message about how to follow after God's word. He heard it, and he followed the instructions. He did it just like the word said. Didn't have to be perfect, but he did it. And guess what? The storm came, and it was bad. It tried to knock that house down. It tried to drown it out. It was bad, but that house stood. But the second man, he heard the same message, but he thought, you know what, I'm going to do it my own way. And so he did. And guess what? The storm came, and it was that same bad storm. It tried to knock the house down, and it did. It tried to drown it out, and it did. And you know what? We need to be doing it God's way. And that story is in Luke 6:46. So let's look at that. Luke 6:46. Can you see that? It says, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? And Jesus isn't saying it because he's mad. He's saying it because he doesn't want to see us destroyed. There's a storm coming to everybody. But if we keep doing the word during the storm, that storm's going to pass on by. Amen? And see, there's families, you can see the same message also in Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 27, that same story. And the only difference was they were both hearing the same message, but only one was doing it. There's a difference. And so right now, families are struggling on all levels, and I believe it's intentional. But guess what? God is for your family, right? He is for your family, but he created it to operate under his rule. His rule. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. When the king of the kingdom governs the family, father, mother, children, when we're being governed by God, then our family will thrive. That's true. So we have to fight for the family. But it has to be according to his standards, because he'll fight with us according to his standards. So let's find out how it's supposed to work. There was a man who ran into a problem in his home. He looked at his bedroom ceiling, and there was a crack. So he's like, oh, that's bad. So he called the painter and asked the painter, can you fix it? So he said, yeah, I can fix it. So he scrapes all the plaster off. He puts the new plaster on, and then he paints it, and it looks really good. But then 30 days later, it comes back. So he's pretty mad. So he calls the painter, can you fix it? I guess I'm going to have to pay you again. He goes, yeah, I can fix it. So he scrapes it off again and puts new plaster, and then he paints it. And it looks good, and they're finally happy. Well, 45 days later, it comes back. And it comes back with its brothers and sisters. I mean, a whole family of cracks just taking over the ceiling. So he's really upset now. He's like, man, that painter doesn't know what he's doing. Let me call another guy. So he calls another guy. He says, can you fix it? He looked, and he's just walking around looking at it, just staring at it, looking at it. Finally, he turns to the owner of the house. He said, I can't fix it. I mean, I can make it look good, but you have a foundation problem. You need to fix your foundation, because if you don't, your whole house is going to be ruined. Guess what? Families are the foundation of our nation. And families need a foundation of the Word of God, Jesus, in order for it to be strong. Amen? I want us to look at, John chapter 5, verse 24. John chapter 5, verse 24. In the NIV, it says this, truly, truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Now, in the King James, it says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Why am I bringing this up? Because it's the instructions. It's the instructions of God to salvation. That's good, isn't it? That's right. Now let's, if you don't mind, look at John chapter 14, verse 23. John chapter 14, verse 23, and it says this. This is Jesus. Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. And then the King James, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I don't know about you, but I want God moving into my house, right? I want him in the middle of my family. And that's what Jesus said he would do if we would obey his word. He would come in and move in. Isn't that good? And it's the instructions that tell us how to do it. Let's look at Isaiah 55, 11. Isaiah 55:11 says this, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I send it. I love the New Living. it says it this way. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. Isn't that good? In the King James, it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Out of our mouth, it will not return to me empty. It will not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper in the thing where I sent it. Isn't that good? And so the family built on Jesus, built on the Word of God, is a foundation of strength and stability. And that is what is needed in our nation right now. The family built on the Word of God, according to the Word, brings happiness. It brings the blessing. It brings prosperity. It brings the benefits of God. And we are to have families that follow after the Word of God, that follow after Jesus. And you know what? And then we are to have families that do the same, and it reproduces until we take dominion. That's the plan of God. And Satan knows this. That's why he's against the God way of family. He's against the family that God instituted because he knows we are to take dominion through our family. And so what people have done is they take the benefits of family and make it the reason for family. But really, the benefits we get is just a blessing. It's the blessing because he loves us and he paid for it. Amen? So we need to get back to the family as a mirror of who God is. See, when we follow God's instruction of having family, that's so that the unbelievers will see and get an idea of what God is like. He'll see the love. He'll see how it works. And we're going to talk about that. They'll be able to understand the gospel when they see how it works. So we need to get lined up with God's plan for the family. See, when God created the family, the first family, he did not create them all at the same time. That was done on purpose, right? It was part of a process. He made the man first. And then the design that God made for the family, it was made to work a certain way on purpose. It's not an accident. The thing is he made each one of us equal in being, equal in value, but we all have different functions. People don't understand that. Like, for instance, Islam, they think that the woman has no value. And that's not true. We are still heirs of Christ, just like the men, but we have different functions. There's a big difference. Just like the Godhead has different functions, but yet they're equal. You know? You know, like Jesus was the Word of God, and he fulfilled the will of God, and the Holy Spirit glorifies the Son. Plus, he comforts us, he's our connection. And they're all equal, but different functions. And we are the same way. Isn't that cool? And so, Satan wants to remove dominion by removing the family. Because families are destroyed when the foundation is destroyed. And then when the family is destroyed, we are the foundation of the nation, and that destroys the nation. But we're not having that, are we? If we're having problems in our marriages, we don't need to find a new mate, even though you get tempted to, I know. We don't do that. What we do is we align ourselves under God's plan with the mate we have. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. And I want to look at verse 15. It says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. So God made man first, and he gave him a job. He gave him a calling. Right? And he made him first so he'd be responsible for the woman. God gave Adam a calling before he got a woman, before he got Eve. And then he gave him instructions. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. Here we go. And it says this. God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, and he blessed them. And he said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it." He gave him a calling. We have a calling to govern the earth, to rule and take dominion. And so he gave him instructions. And by the way, for any single ladies that may be listening to this, if the man that you're interested in doesn't have finance, there shouldn't be any romance. Make sure he has a job before you even consider him. So God gave Adam a calling. He gave him instructions before he ever gave him Eve. Let's look. Go back to Genesis 2. Here we go. All right. So, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. Did you know? See, for a long time, because I was raised in the world, I was not raised in church, I was raised to believe in evolution, so I thought human beings were bad for the earth. I believed them when they said, "We're destroying the world." Well, God is saying here, the world needs us to cultivate it and take care of it. And you can tell if you look at the wild that's not taken care of is nothing but weeds. Praise God. So then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. See, God fashioned a woman, but he made men out of dirt. Amen. He made us special. But I want you to notice something. If you look at Genesis 2, it says the Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord God. In verse 5, verse 7, verse 8, verse 15, 16, 18, 19, you keep saying the Lord God, the Lord God, the Lord God. But in chapter 1, it was just God. It was just God. Why the difference? Is that even important? Well, in the Greek, I don't know if it's Greek or Hebrew, one of them, the word God in the chapter 1 is Elohim, which means the powerful God. The power, God's ability. He created. He was actually doing something. But the Lord is the word for Jehovah, which refers to control or management. And so the Lord God, I like this, is the powerful God who will give you the instructions on what to do. The God of power and the God of instruction. I never knew that. Isn't that cool? That is cool. So he gives us instructions on how to live, and he gave that same role to man when there was no woman. He gave him a job to do. He gave him a calling. All right? And so the man was supposed to learn how to function in that under God before he received his woman. And then that's the reason why we have so many messed up women. Because so many men are refusing to be under God. And if you don't learn how to be under God, you're going to mess up your woman. And then the women, they're not going to be underneath the man. And so they're messed up. And then the children, if the rebellion just passes on. And that's not what God wants. He wants us not messed up. He wants us blessed. He wants there is an order of alignment. He wants us working smoothly. And we have to be taught that See, Satan has been sowing, you know, like the good seed and the tares. He's been sowing the bad seed with the good. But he's been caught. The thief has been caught. Amen. And so he fashioned a woman. To fashion means to build with intention. I just think it's funny, fashion. We like fashion. Anyway, so he brings her to, let's see. Okay, let's look at this. So then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. And so he formed from the ground all the wild animals and the birds. He brought them to the man, and the man named them. And then the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. That was the first surgery. He took out one of the man's ribs, aren't we worth it? And closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman, and he brought her to the man. God brought the woman to the man. God is the very first matchmaker. Very first matchmaker. God wants to be in the middle of everything. Isn't that good? He put himself right in the middle of it. And then he performs the first marriage ceremony. The man says, wow, this one is bone from my bone, flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. And then I like, wrong one, let me. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now, have you noticed there was no father and mother yet? He was setting a precedent. He was setting the guidelines of how we are to function in our family, in our marriage. So God brought the woman to Adam to form this union of marriage, which is the foundation of family. And see, the future or the story of the nation is the future and story of the family. God is a God of family. Whoever owns the family owns the nation. Isn't that true? The family is God's plan. And so, what is your agenda if you know this and you are against the family? And as you build your own family, if you call it, if you can call it that, how would you do that? Well, you would destroy the family. You would destroy what God says about the family. You'd make it illegal for even to talk about it and tell the truth. That's what you would do. And that's exactly what Satan does all throughout history. In fact, let's look at Genesis chapter 3. That's when all the trouble started. The serpent was the shrewdest of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, I couldn't even imagine a talking snake or serpent. But did God really say? See, all this time it was the Lord God, and now Satan's just calling him God. And he says, see, Adam had given the instructions. God had given the instructions to Adam, and Adam was supposed to give the same instructions to Eve. But Satan comes up and says, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? See, Satan used what God had already given them. God gave them all the trees but that one, and Satan used that. He'll do that. And the woman said, it's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. He put doubt into Eve. He put doubt. So she was convinced. She saw it was beautiful. It looked delicious. She wanted the wisdom. So she took some of the fruit, and when she touched it, she didn't die. So she thought, I guess the serpent was telling the truth. God didn't say, when you touch it, you die. He said, when you eat it, you would die. And she started dying right then and there. She just didn't know it. And that's how Satan works. He works with deception. You know? And I'll tell you one thing. He didn't bother with Adam till he got married. Once he got married, that's when all hell broke loose. Because there's power in a union. You know, he wasn't just after person. He's after the plan of God. Satan's plan is to destroy the kingdom of God. He was all about stopping the expansion of God's dominion. So he didn't want just Adam. He wanted the whole plan, the whole family. And all throughout history, that's what he does. Goes after the stability of the family. And that's why we're at war in the culture today. The whole family is under attack right now. They're out to destroy the marriage and the family. And the reason that the enemy has been able to do that is because people just did not want to come under the rule of God. They just did not want to do it under the lordship of God. Amen. And so Satan is like, sure, God is real, but just don't let him tell you what to do. You can't believe him. That's what Satan says. Sure, you can go to church. You can sing your song. You can go to the preacher, but don't let God call the shots. Don't let him tell you what to do. Isn't that what they try to tell us? So what does Satan attack? He attacks the very thing that belongs to us anyway. Those trees belong to us anyway. We have provision in our covenant, and yet Satan tries to say, God's not going to provide that. I got something better. That's how he does it. We have to know who we are. We have to know what's in our covenant, so we can't be fooled by Satan. And we have a covenant for a healthy, blessed marriage and a healthy, blessed family. We have a right to a healthy, happy family. Isn't that good? And so we've been taught, I know I've been taught, oh, marriage is so hard. Marriages are so hard, they don't survive. They're headed for a divorce as soon as you get married. That's not true. They want us to believe that, because if we believe it, we'll act it out. That is not true. God ordained marriage to be healthy, to be happy, to be blessed. Isn't that good? So what does Satan do? He reversed the order. He reversed the order. He gives instructions to Eve, and she gets Adam to follow her. And it's supposed to be the other way around. You know, we need to be in alignment. Yes. That's right. He wants control over the whole earth, and he gets the man out of alignment with God, and then he gets the woman out of alignment from being under her husband, and then he attacks the children, so they're not going to be under the parents. Nope, we don't want that at all. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11. There we go. 1 Corinthians 11. Says this. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. I like it in the King James. Well, it says the same thing, but there is one that said the head of the wife, because the man isn't the head of every woman, just his one woman. But Christ is the head of every man. So man has to be under Christ, and then the woman is under her husband, and then the children are under the parents. That's God's order. That's how we function under God. One family under God needs to function under his rule. And then, and let's look at Ephesians 6:1. And this is something we need to be teaching our young people. We used to be taught that. And it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is the right thing to do. We need to be teaching that, because they're going to be teaching the opposite. Amen? And so it's not because we have any less value. It's not because children have any less value. We are all equal as far as value and being, but we have function. We have a calling as a family to take dominion over the earth. And he did it on purpose. And so if God, who made the family, and he wants to fix the family, how do we get it fixed? By going under God's rule. Amen? That's how we fix our families, under the rule of God. And so Satan's goal is to disturb that process, and God wants to advance his kingdom through your family. Isn't that cool? He uses the family. In fact, I want us to look at Genesis 18:19. I never saw this before. Let's see if I can make it where you can read it. It says this, I have singled him out, Abraham, so he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. Isn't that good? He picked Abraham because he knew Abraham would teach his children to follow after God. And then God can do what he promised. Isn't that cool? I never knew that was in there. And so God says, he calls himself the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's a family connection. So we have to fight for our families. Every man who hears this, you must choose to be God's instrument under God's rule. We need to be like Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's how we roll in our house. Men need to be under God's authority, and women, as long as the husband is under God's authority, we need to be under them, we need to be helping them, we need to be praying for them, and then the children, they need to be under the parents as if they were serving God, because that's their service to God while they're children. And you can pray for them too. When everybody gets in alignment, then we can be happy. We can get along and we can advance God's kingdom. But when we try to get happy out of God's alignment, you're not going to be happy for long, because when we're out of God's alignment, we're out of his kingdom. When we're out of his kingdom, the benefits aren't going to be there because it's outside of the kingdom. So it's absolutely critical, if we're going to save our nation, that we need to save our families. So if we have a family built on the rock, built on Christ, our family will stand. It's not going to keep the enemy from sending the storm. He'll send the storm, but guess what? He's going to run out of breath trying to blow our house down. He won't be able to blow it down, no matter how hard he blows. In Nehemiah 4:14, it says, fight for your family. Fight for your family. And so if you're a single person, you need to get yourself ready to be the right person so that you'll meet the right person. And then you'll be able to take dominion as a family. Amen? And so I want to share a testimony. This is a really awesome true story that I learned about a year ago. And I really didn't even make the connection of how awesome it is when you get yourself under alignment with God. It's a story about a young man in California. And he got confused because they were teaching the homosexual agenda at school. So he got confused about his sexual orientation. So he ended up going into the gay lifestyle. And it was not good. It was terrible. And then he got into the drugs. And then he became a prostitute. And it was terrible. And his mom was a Christian. He was raised in the church. And so meanwhile, she's praying for him. She's praying for him. She don't get to see him, but she prays for him. And all of a sudden, one day, he gets this desire, I want to go see God. I'm tired of this. Isn't that cool? So he finds a church. I don't even know what church it was. And he goes to God. He said, God, I'm tired of this life. Please save me. So he starts going to church, and he gets saved. But he still has the same feelings, the same desires. But he decides, as he studies his word, he decides, I'm going to obey you, God, no matter how I feel. Isn't that the way it needs to go? I'm going to obey you no matter how I feel. I'm going to do your plan no matter what the world is telling me, no matter what my flesh is telling me. I'm going to obey you. So if that, and he made a prayer out of it. So Lord, if that means I got to give up all that and I got to marry a woman, I'll do it for your glory. And he had no desire for that, but he wanted God so much. So he started praying, telling him, I'm willing to do it. And I'm going to do it by faith. And so he was shocked. About 6 months later, all of a sudden, he had this desire, a real true desire for a wife. Isn't that cool? And then not long after that, he met his future wife. And they're studying the word. In fact, they have a ministry now. And they're expecting a child now. And they have decided to just align themselves under the word of God. You can't go by how you feel. You can't go by your flesh. We have to train our flesh to go under the rule of God. Isn't that a cool story? It is so true. And you can actually look it up on the 700 Club, and you can hear the story from his own lips. He, in fact, was telling it from the park where he used to prostitute himself, and he said, I can see the same look. We're going to pray and believe for them. Isn't that amazing? And he said he's just never thought he could be happy as a heterosexual married man. But when we get ourselves under alignment with God, our feelings line up. And then the blessing comes. Now, we will have storms, but those storms have to leave. They have to leave. If we keep doing the word, our house will still stand. Isn't that good news? It's just, it's not easy to do when the storm is beating on your house. You feel like it is going to fall apart, but you keep doing it anyway. You keep doing the word, and that storm will pass. And we're going to believe that for our nation. Amen? Amen. Well, that was the message. I hope you learned something and got something out of it. Let's go ahead and pray. Well, Father God, we just raise up our families to you right now. I thank you, Lord, that you have a plan to take dominion over the world, and it's through the family. I think there is a reason why Satan is attacking the family. I could never understand it, but Lord, it's because the family is the foundation of our nation. And so we just come against all the works of the devil. You said you came to destroy the works of the devil. You said you gave us the keys to the kingdom. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So we bind you, Satan, from destroying the family. We bind you, Satan. We bind all your works. We say all your works are destroyed in every area of our nation in Jesus' name. And we loose the word of God. We loose the love of God. We loose the presence of God to saturate and fill this nation, beginning with every man, woman, and child, every family, every city, every state in this nation. Let it take over the world. I call for the arrest of Satan on charges of stealing, killing, and destroying. I call for a 1,000-year prison term according to your word, Lord, today in Jesus' name. And Lord, we call for the healing of every family that has been hurt by Satan, Lord. You said if the thief has been caught, he has to pay sevenfold. So I'm calling for a sevenfold restoration of healing in our nation, every part of our nation, whether it be marriages, whether it be families, whether it be our children, whether it be our education, freedom and liberty in our finances. I'm calling for a sevenfold healing in our nation according to your word, Lord. Lord, we're looking for you to show yourself powerful. We're calling you on your promises, Lord. You said yes and amen. We call on the blood covenant of Jesus. Not because we deserve it, but because you did it, because you love us. So we thank you for that. And if there's any of you that are listening to this and you want to be part of the covenant of God, you want Jesus, you want to come out of that old lifestyle, of the lifestyle of hopelessness, all you have to do is pray to Jesus. Say, Jesus, please forgive me. Lord, my life is a mess, but Lord, I want that abundant life you said I could have. So Lord, just come into my heart now. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins and you were raised up from the dead and you're at the right hand of God the Father interceding for me. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior and make something beautiful out of my life in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, contact us. We're at Voice of Believers Church Facebook and we have a website. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear from you. And Lord, I just release us with a blessing. I thank you. Your word said we're blessed going in and you're blessed going out. We're blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Our children are blessed. Our families are blessed. Whatever we put our hand to is blessed because of the blessing. We thank you for that. We thank you no sickness or disease shall come near our dwelling because you'll satisfy us with long life. That's right, Lord. And so we go out of here full of your word, full of your power, looking for to make a difference in suffering humanity, Lord. Let us be the light that shines. In Jesus' name, and all who agree, say amen. Amen. If anyone has any prayer, we'll agree with you. Amen.